Open your Bibles, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll let you get a head start on the live stream crew. We started a new series Sunday. We covered it some Sunday morning, some Sunday night, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you'll find your place there, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to talk tonight about the dangers of being full. Now, if we're talking about eating too much, most of us know that. There's danger in eating too much. I want to help you, because I know some of you might be prone to eat a little bit too much over the next few days. But it's a calculated risk, right? Calculated risk. Most of the time, I go into the holiday like this thinking I'm not going to do it this time. I'm not going to eat too much. I'm just going to. But then it's so good. And I think, well, just a little bit more. But the problem is too much is up here, right? It's here and it's on its way down before you realize it, right? And then it's just too late. There's dangers in being over full. Tonight we want to learn about the danger of being full from the blessings of God. And I hope this will make sense to you as we look at it. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you're able, will you stand with me, please? And we're going to start right there at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne tonight, Lord, it's been a busy couple of days already, and preparations are being made for families to spend time together. There's some who still have work to do and others who have time off. But Lord, I pray that for the next little bit, you would give us the energy that we need to be attentive to your word. I pray that you'd help us to set aside the distractions that we may have. I pray that you put a hedge about this place and this message, Lord, to keep back the influence of Satan and his demons, Lord, that we would have ears to hear, that we would open our hearts and minds to receive the truth you have for us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray if anyone who hears this message is not saved, Lord, tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief tonight. They would be freed from that bondage, that they would receive the gift of eternal life through Christ our Savior. And Lord, I pray for the saved that we would be completely committed to you. And Lord, that you would help us to be faithful. Forgive us when we fall short, when we fail the test, and help us to get back up again and walk by the power of your Spirit. Please help us to always remember and never forget your goodness to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I have a hard time remembering things. People tell me sometimes that are a little older than I am that it'll only get worse. They say things like, I'll get up out of one room and go into the other room, and I can't remember what I went into the room for. Anybody testify to that? I started doing that when I was 12, so I'm a little bit concerned. I used to make fun of my mom because she would be tearing the house apart trying to find her glasses. And I would just look at her, dumbfounded, at how this woman who brought me into the world, who had so much wisdom to impart, could be looking for the glasses that are on her head. It wasn't so long ago that I was in a hurry to leave somewhere. I was on the phone with my wife, and I was trying to find my phone so I could leave. I wish I was making that up. I told you before about the older couple who went to the doctor, and they were both a little bit concerned about their memory and how they were forgetting things. And he said it would be a good idea for you to start using notes. Just use sticky notes to give yourself reminders. And so when they got home from the doctor's office, his dear wife said, "Honey, why don't you go into the kitchen and get me a bowl of ice cream? I'd like to have some ice cream." He said, "Okay, I can do that." She said, "Well, you better write that down. You remember what the doctor said. You go and you'll forget." He said, "I think I can remember a bowl of ice cream." She said, "Yes, but I want strawberries too." He said, "I think I can remember a bowl of strawberries, a bowl of ice cream with strawberries." And she said, "No, you better write it down because I also want some whipped cream on there too." He said, "Honey, I can handle this. You want a bowl of ice cream, you want strawberries, and whipped cream." He went into the kitchen and was gone for quite a while, and he came back with a plate of bacon and eggs. She said, "I told you to write it down. I knew you'd forget. Where is my toast?" You know, those things are funny because it's so close to home. There are a lot of things we forget. We can forget our keys. We can forget our phone or our glasses. If we're not careful, we'll forget our kids. I went to elementary school at a big school you might have heard of. It's Braggs, Oklahoma. Class B, state baseball champions, 80-something. Now, that happened. You've probably driven through Braggs on accident before. A while back, somebody asked me if I'd ever heard of the malt shop in Braggs. I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Like, people know about that? When I went to school there in elementary school, we sometimes rode the bus, but it got to be a while that my mom or my aunt would pick us up from school. The problem was, 4 days out of five, they would forget to pick us up from school. I would sit on the steps outside the school, and the buses would all be gone, and all the other parents would come pick up their children, and me and my cousins would still be sitting there. And we would wait and wait and wait, and finally we would go into the office, and the secretary would say, "Did they forget you again?" We can forget a lot of things. But God instructs us in His Word tonight to remember. You see, God had done something miraculous. He had delivered Israel from bondage in Egypt. He had saved them. And we see a picture of our salvation in that. You remember how the blood was applied that first Passover? Where the blood was applied, death would pass over. And they were set free. They were delivered from bondage. And it's a beautiful picture of our salvation. When you are covered by the blood of Jesus, you're set free from bondage. You have liberty. You have life everlasting. Well, they weren't obedient to the Lord, and they had to wander in the wilderness. And I believe that that's a picture of the defeated Christian life. You've been delivered from bondage, but you're not being obedient. You're not crossing over into that promised land. You're not doing the things that God's called you to do. And so you're going to have to deal with some fiery serpents. You're going to have to deal with scorpions. You're going to have to deal with hunger and thirst. And it's going to be really hard there. But when you learn to be obedient, you get to cross over Jordan. And a lot of our songs we sing about crossing over Jordan is going into heaven. But I want to tell you, biblically, I don't think that's a picture of heaven, because there were still wars to fight there. There were still things to be done. But that was a picture of the victorious Christian life. Amen. When you become obedient to God and you step out in faith and you cross over that Jordan, what you're doing is entering into a life of obedience to God, and God will give you victory. Sure, there's going to be some AIs along the way when you think you've got it and you're going to get whooped and you got to go back to God and do it His way. But overall, it's a lifestyle of victory. And see, we see that picture. But God warned Israel that they not forget what He had done for them. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we see the warning. We see, first of all, a call to remember. Verse 2 said, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Why did He lead them? To humble them, to prove them or test them, so that He would know what was in their heart, so He would know whether they would keep His commandments or not. Verse 3 says,
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. Look at this. That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You ever heard that before? Amen. Yeah, Matthew 4:4. Jesus is just repeating what he already said, right? He said, listen, I wanted to check you there. I wanted you to go through some hard times. I wanted you to humble yourself before me. I wanted you to show me whether you would be obedient to me. He tested them with the manna. Amen. He gave them instructions on how to take it up, just enough for today, each day, and on the day before the Sabbath, enough for 2 days. And did they obey? No, they didn't obey. They didn't obey. And God tested them. God proved them because he wanted them to rely on him. Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Hebrews tells us, listen, when you sin as a child of God, God is going to chasten you. He's going to correct you. He's going to instruct you. And that's a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing to be chastened of the Lord because he chastens his own. And if you don't get chastened by the Lord when you sin, you better check yourself. Amen. Verse 6 says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Man, does that not sound good? God says, listen, I brought you and I took you through this wilderness, but I brought you through all of that so I could give you something better. Friends, I want you to just fix in your mind a picture of the victorious Christian life where you are walking in the commandments of the Lord. You're walking in his ways. You're fearing God. And what's that like? Well, it's like living a life where there's brooks of water, fountains, and depths that springs out of valleys of hills. It's where there's plenty of bread and there's no lack thereof. Now, we can talk about the physical things. Now, God's blessed us as a nation. God's blessed us as a church. God's blessed the families that are a part of this church. We have more than enough. And if you ever are lacking, there are people who love you and in the name of the Lord will give to you and will help you. We are very, very blessed people. We could talk about the physical, but I want you to look past that to the spiritual blessings. Listen, when we look into the Word of God and we see these brooks of water, the fountains and depths, friends, get a picture of God's Holy Spirit. When you see this bread, get a picture of the Word of God, the bread of life. Get a picture of how God will abundantly bless you, how he'll fill you up to overflowing, how you'll never lack anything that you need, physically or spiritually, when you cross over. So what do we want to do? We want to remember. Listen, remembering is an active thing. We're going to talk about not forgetting because he tells us that too, but remembering is active. We do things in remembrance. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And he doesn't tell us how often to do it, but he tells us we do this in remembrance. Remembering is an active thing. We pray as an act of remembering. We sing praise to God as an act of remembering. We witness to others as an act of remembering. We are obedient to the commandments. That's an act of remembering because I've not forgotten, because I remember, it's shown in my actions. Remembering is an active thing. I told you I have a trouble forgetting things. That's because my forgetter works really good. But God calls us to remember. Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. What do we need to do? Well, we need to remember so that we can keep his commandments, so that we can walk in his ways, so we can fear before the Lord. We need to actively remember what Christ has done for us. I try to make the gospel a part of every message. I don't know that I always succeed, but I hope you know that's always going to be my heart. I've actually heard people lament the preacher preaching the gospel during every message. Now, friends, I'll never understand that. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story of Jesus. It's the most precious that ever was heard. How could you say that you believe that Jesus died for you and rose again? How can you say that you believe the Son of God, God himself that created all things, became a man, lived a sinless life, that he died on that cross for you, that he looked down through time and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How can you say you believe that and say, I don't want to hear that anymore? I want to hear every word. I want it written on my heart. I want to never forget what Christ has done for me, how he suffered me, how he took my place, and how he rose again the third day. How they were dumbfounded, how they were astonished when they came and the tomb was empty and they saw where the Lord had laid and they went away wondering. But then when Jesus appeared, they were still afraid, but they rejoiced. Amen. I want to know. I want to remember. God calls us to remember. This Thanksgiving, not just Thanksgiving, but every day, let's remember what God has done. But then look down at verse 10. Look down at verse 10. He says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good in thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. Not only do we need to remember, that's an active thing, but we need to be careful not to forget. This is defensive. This is, we need to set up guards against forgetting. Amen. He says in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, just answer in your heart. How many of you can remember when you were saved? I mean, you can raise your hand. You can shout if you want to.
Amen.
You remember it? When you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Amen.
I know it's different for everybody, but I remember that night. I remember how in one moment, I don't know about you, but I was terrified of going to hell.
Amen.
I want to go to hell. I knew that's what I deserved. But I'll be honest with you. It wasn't that. That fear of hell wasn't what pushed me over. It was the suffering Savior. When I knew that Christ had suffered for my sin, it was overwhelming. That's that godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. When you understand that it's your sin that he suffered for, when I understood Christ suffering for me, not, yes, for the whole world, but not just for the whole world, for me. And he did that for you, individually, personally. I remember that night. I remember going from one moment knowing I was on my way to hell to one moment knowing I was on my way to heaven. Amen. In an instant. I knew. My sins were taken away. I had life everlasting. I knew I had eternal life. I think about so many things that God has brought me through. He talks here about being in the wilderness. Now listen, I'll just go ahead and tell you. I've never had to worry about where my next meal was going to come from. Amen. God has blessed me abundantly. Now, there may be some of you here that have gone through times like that where you didn't know when there was nothing to eat. And my heart goes out to you. And there are people right now who are suffering. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. They don't know where they're going to have shelter tonight. There are people who are going through a hard time, and we ought to do what we can to help. But listen, just because you haven't been starving doesn't mean that you haven't been through times where God had to see you through. Moments in your life where you just didn't know if you could take another step. You didn't know if you could take another breath. Moments where the burdens of life were too much to bear that you didn't know if you could go on. Situations where you're completely helpless and you were crying out to God to help you through it, and he did. Amen. Times when you just didn't know how you could get through another day or another week or another month. You didn't know how you were going to make the ends meet. You didn't know how you were going to pay your bills. You didn't know if you're going to lose what you had. I'm just telling you, there are times in your life that God has brought you through, and we need to be careful not to forget. It's God that brought you out of Egypt. It's God who provided for you along the way. It's God who will give you all the good things in the future. And be careful that you don't forget. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. And I want to ask you tonight, how can we forget? I've met people who claim to be Christians, who claim to be saved. They say, well, I asked Jesus into my heart, or whatever it is. I'm just going to get real with you for a second. They've not read a Bible in decades. They've not darkened the door of a church to worship the one who they say has saved them. They've gone not hours, not days, not weeks, not months, but years without giving Christ a thought. God help us. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Look at what he says. In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes. How do you know if you're forgetting? When we're not obeying. When I am not obeying, I am, by definition, forgetting. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance or self-control, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. When you and I are disobedient, it's because we've forgotten. We've forgotten what Christ has done for us. We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten what he's called us to be. Be careful not to forget. In Joshua chapter 4, you remember when they crossed over, finally crossed over into Jordan, they set up some monuments to remember. Towards the end of the chapter, Joshua 4, verse 21, he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Listen, Joshua told the people, I want you to set up these stones. And he said, I want you to set it up so that your children will know what God did. Amen. Listen, God parted that Red Sea and Israel crossed over. All of them crossed over. And Pharaoh's armies, they all drowned. You remember this song, Pharaoh's army did the dead man float. Nobody knows that song? Please, somebody, nod your head like you know that song. All right, we'll have to, God bless you. I see that hand. Okay. We'll have to do that one next Sunday or something. All right. Listen. They crossed over on the dry ground. It was an incredible miracle. But when it was time for them, after 40 years, when it was time to finally cross over into Jordan, God did the same thing. He set the priests with the ark. They set their foot in that Jordan River, and the water piled up in a heap. It just stopped right there. Couldn't go any further. God said, nope, not going any further. And that water just kept piling up and piling up till they all went across. And they got those 12 stones, and they set it up. They got another set of 12 stones and set them up in the middle of the river. And Joshua said, listen, I want everyone to know what God did here, so that we don't forget. The Bible tells us to remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. What is that? It's so we don't forget. We want to remember what God has done, and we do that by being active in our remembering, by praying and serving and loving and worshiping and obeying, and we do that by not forgetting. So we set up these defenses. We set up these things to remind us, so we've got to remember every day what God has done for us. I know that I'm forgetting when I'm not obeying. And Joshua was concerned about the next generation. And you and I need to be concerned about the next generation. I want to be faithful and obedient so my children will know. I want to be faithful and obedient that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Remember all the way God has led you. Be careful not to forget. In verse 14, back in our text, Deuteronomy 8:14, Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness. He talks about all the things that he delivered them from, how he provided even water from a rock. That rock was a picture of Jesus, that he is the living water. From him is life. But look at verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Listen, just because you're saved doesn't mean life's going to be easy. Just because you're trying to do the right thing doesn't mean that things are always going to go well. God has got a purpose. He's got a plan. And even when times are hard, just remember, he's going to do you good at your latter end. Amen. To live is Christ, but friends, to die is gain. Amen. This world is not my home. Amen. I'm just passing through. Amen. I seek a better country. Verse 17, he says, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. You know, early on in life, it's easy to trust in the Lord. It's easy to look to him, to know you need him. I look at a lot of young couples just starting out when they don't have anything. And they're praying. People go to their pastor and say, pastor, pray for me that I can get this good job. I'm going to make lots of money. I'll tithe and give lots of offerings. It'll be great. Pray for me to get this good job. And you pray for that, and then they get that good job, and things turn out really well, and God blesses them financially. He blesses them so much, he blesses them right out of the church. What have they done? They've forgotten. They look to God and say, God, help me. God, bless me. God, provide. And when he did, they get out on their own and say, I got this. I got this. It reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember him? Daniel 4, 29 and 30, the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He was lifted up with pride, and before it was done, he was out in the field eating grass like an ox. You think you did this, but you didn't. So we got to remember, don't be lifted up with pride. If it's good and it is your life, then God gave it to you. Verse 18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. I told you Sunday, it's not wrong to have lawful desires. It's not wrong to want nice things. It's wrong to want what somebody else has. It's wrong to want things more than you want God. It's more to love things more than you love God. Amen. But it's not wrong to have lawful desires. God gives you the ability to have wealth. Listen, Abraham was a wealthy man. God did that for him, and he gave God glory. He honored the Lord. There were lots of wealthy people in Scripture. There are lots of wealthy people in the world today who love Jesus. I'm not sure they're the top three wealthiest men in the world, but there are wealthy people in the world today who love Jesus. Let me give you a warning as we wrap it up tonight. Verse 19 and 20. It shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. We're not obedient when we forget. We're not obedient when we're not fearful of God the way that we should be. Our obedience, are we led by our physical passions, or are we led by biblical principles? Are we ruled by our lusts, or do we hold to the principles of the Word of God? Are we governed by the landmarks that have been set by Scripture? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember all the way God has led you, and be careful not to forget. We need to set up some landmarks in our lives. We need some reminders. There's a lot of trash on social media. Let me say that one more time. There's a lot of trash on social media. And I'm not just talking about the filth of the world. I'm talking about people who ought to know better, saying stupid things, doing stupid things. But you know what? One of the good things about it is, I get reminders all the time of the Word of God. There's so many friends on social media. All they share is scriptures, and I love it. It's good. Little devotional thoughts, Bible verses, reminders. We need to set up some of those landmarks. It's one of the things that the Lord taught in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said, I want you to write it on the post of your gate, of your house. I want it to be there. Listen, those reminders you set around your house, some of you have scriptures hanging on the wall. Some of you have those reminders in different places. That's a good thing. Amen. Hey, just like for the old people, the post-it note. Write it down and stick it on the visor in your car or stick it on the refrigerator where I know you'll find it. Man, that didn't land as well as I thought it would. Put some landmarks up. Put some reminders up because we need to guard lest we forget. Let's say, how could we forget? But if we're honest tonight, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. And if you've forgotten the benefits of God today, I invite you to repent. Let's stand together. I invite you to repent. I invite you to ask God to forgive you for forgetting. I encourage you to ask God to help you to remember the way that He's led you and to trust Him to lead you into the future. If you are here tonight or you're listening online and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, all these things about having something better in the future, that doesn't apply for you, but it can. You can escape the wrath to come. You can escape damnation and hell and the lake of fire if you'll simply trust in Jesus. He died for you, and He rose again, and He offers life everlasting if you'll trust in Him tonight. He's convicting your heart. Would you respond right here tonight or at home, wherever you're at? Pray and ask the Lord to forgive your sin. Ask Him to be your Savior. Come and make sure your heart's right with Him tonight. And let's remember the Lord and all His benefits today and every day.